Coming to you from cities all over the world, produced in Aotearoa, New Zealand, this is the Places for Good podcast. We bring you the designers, planners, and placemakers who shape the shared spaces of tomorrow, from stories of the past to visions for the future. We talk pride of place wherever you are. I'm your host, Boopsie Moran. So our guest today is a global academic scholar, educator, public space activist, and social entrepreneur. She has more than 15 years experience as an urban designer and planner with a particular focus on public space. She is the founding editor and journal manager of the Journal of Public Space, the first international interdisciplinary academic open access journal and entirely dedicated to public space. I feel very privileged to have her here with us today. Please welcome Louisa Bravo.
Hi, Boopsie. Thanks for having me today, and thanks for the introduction.
Well, it's really good that you're in Italy and I'm in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and we're able to have this conversation about place. And I'm really appreciative of you taking the time today. So let's just get started on, basically, we're here in lockdown. We're in level three now. And I've been on Facebook recently, and I was really interested in your latest work with Roberto and Simone. That you developed in cooperation with the UN Habitat, the Mapping Resilient Communities. And it really had me thinking about your point about how we can no longer wait for politicians to propose a path towards a better future. So my first question in a lot of these interviews has been, if you were the mayor of your city, what radical changes or revisions might you have, or immediate policy changes would you love to implement?
Yes, great question. Because being a politician these days in Italy is very challenging. Italy has been facing a lot of issues at the political level, political instability, and a lot of conflicts from the right and the left wings. I would not actually recommend some of my colleagues to apply for political positions and myself as well. I don't have any interest to be part of this, environment. But since, as you said, I've been advocating for better places and better public spaces through the Journal of Public Space and also my nonprofit organization, City Space Architecture, based in Bologna here in Italy. My interest is, of course, on public space. So the city of Bologna had for a short period of time an office on public space. And this happened more than 10 years ago. And they improved some of the public spaces in the inner city. So Bologna is an historical city with first settlement dated back to Roman times. Wow. So it's a very ancient, very beautiful city. If you never visited Bologna, you don't want to miss it in case you're traveling to Europe, and then you can visit me as well.
I look forward to the days of travel. I have a question. Was the public space office connected to the open parks, or was it parks and recs is what they call it in America, or was it different?
No, it is different because, as I was saying, this office was mostly interested to improve public spaces in the city center, which means the historical district. Wow. And actually they did some projects and to create a more livable environment. But you have to consider that in Italy, especially in Italy, historical environments are, untouchable in terms of interventions and design activities. So they had to make some improvements by changing very small conditions. So putting some trees, some places to sit, benches, of course, with a good design and very attractive, also because they wanted to enhance, the local economy. And so giving shops possibility to have a nice environment along the streets. So they closed some of the streets so that in the summer they could have some enjoyable evenings and nights, playing music and so on. And so this created opportunities for really great places. but only in the city center. So the problem, and this is what I would do as a mayor,
yes,
is how do we connect public spaces in the city center, which are beautiful, you know, very attractive. And as an Italian city, and as most Italian and European cities, city centers are always very, very attractive. But how can we do the same in the suburban environments that are the environments that are most in need of these public space interventions? So I would actually re-establish the office.
Great idea.
But with this emphasis on suburban neighborhoods.
Do you think they need satellite offices? So let's say there's one, if you open up that group, would they have one in the north, south, west, east, or could one office act on that regenerative phasing? You know, do you need to be in site, on site, or do you think it could work better
in
a different way?
There are already offices in each neighborhood, but the problem is that there is not a specific expertise on public space development. So those that are managing the offices in the suburban neighborhoods are just dealing with some administrative issues and bureaucracy, let's say. They don't work on imagination, design, creative intervention, community engagement. So the problem is that there are so much bottom-up initiatives promoted by local associations, the nonprofit sector, and different grassroots communities, but there is so little space for all these activities.
So picture you've been given a grant and you're opening an office in a suburb. Who is your team? Who are your 5 to 10 people that you would start off as a team to reimagine this opportunity for not the city center, but for a suburb redevelopment? Who are the people?
Well, good question, because I actually have a space in a suburban neighborhood, which is not, from the municipality, but in this suburban neighborhood where city space architecture is based, because our office is in the suburban neighborhood, very close to the city center, because, Bologna is very compact and walkable city. So when I say suburban neighborhood, it's actually 20 minutes walking distance from the main square. So we are still in the city center because everything can be reached on foot. Mm-hmm. But I have this space, which is the operational headquarters of City Space Architecture, and it is our public space museum. Mm-hmm. So it's not it's not coming from the municipality, because this is an initiative from the bottom up developed by City Space Architecture. But I'm actually developing several initiatives by engaging artists, for example, designers and creative people that could actually join a kind of community, let's say, and they could meet in this space and they could think about strategic opportunities or meetings, events, everything that could happen in the neighborhood or in some other places in the same neighborhood, or giving advice to other neighborhoods on how to develop these public space activities.
Our biggest issue with this idea was a hub with the furniture. So let's say the artist created model furniture seating. Where do we store it, and how do we share it in a safe way has been a big issue. And my other question, as far as your collective of artists, is still, I work with a lot of artists, but I would love to have kind of the in-between, the bureaucracy. And so you have the permission to use public space that you need to get, and then you have the artist. There's a group in the middle that I don't know how to define that remove the barriers to space, but also plan, organize, schedule. I don't know if you have names for it in Italian, but I still want to make this framework that, and I'm happy for people to copy it once it's created, yes. but mm-hmm. how do you make it sustainable so that team is tight and they're like a family and they just kind of, that's their suburb and they work with it, but it's consistent? Because we have groups like Fo the People, which is in one suburb, but the funding is a big issue.
Mm, yes.
And access and sustainability. So who would be, if you said, here's your office and it wasn't me or you, it wasn't our place. Here's some tips.
Mm.
What are the five things you would tell them? This is your office. I suggest you do X, Y, Z.
Well, look, the problem is that the municipality should actually develop a holistic approach to this kind of cultural interventions, which are also related to public space, but in my opinion, are mostly related to make communities great. I mean, we need to understand what others are doing so that we can find some similarities and common grounds in order to develop joint projects. So if I do not have the opportunity to meet and know what others are doing, then I constantly feel alone, you know, facing so many difficulties and, you know, trying my best and, you know, crying in the night because I cannot reach what I'm struggling to achieve.
Yes.
So the municipality should be able to create such community that is a way also to be inspired by the work of others, because I think we should always learn from what others are doing. Don't think that we are the best, we are doing the best projects and we have the best ideas. So also in my organization, I always try to apply this horizontal method so that it's not just, I know what to do and I'm teaching you. Mm. No, it's we're sitting together. I want to learn. I want to listen. The problem is that there are not so many people who are interested to listen, because listening means that you spend time with others. And this is also the problem of the municipality. They don't, well, I guess they don't want to spend time in listening to all these people coming for funding, coming for, you know, space, coming for opportunities. And also very important, very, very important. When I say that communities should come together, usually, and this is very common in Bologna and in other cities in Italy, and I guess also in Europe, you always try to work with those that you already know, that you feel are on your same page, that you consider being good enough to do something that you would like to implement. But then, you know, you just create a circle. And all those that are inside the circle can actually do something, get funding, develop projects, and be successful. So the problem is, how do we break those boundaries? And we open, really open, to others that probably have different opinions, that they think in a different way. Sometimes it becomes difficult to develop projects together because you have to, you know, reach consensus regarding what it is good to do. But I think this is the essence of public space and the
it's a divergent space. But I think I had a friend staying with me who was an artist from the UK, and we would look at funding from the UK grants, and they had a huge budget for research and development. And to me, because I know you're a tactical urbanist as well and part of your practice, I call that trial failures, right? But if we don't fund and use trial failures, we don't get we don't give the time to appreciate changes and ways of doing things differently, right? So I don't think we do enough funding of research and development or R&D in our municipality. Does an Italian municipality fund this? Because in UK, she had friends who were producers who got $10,000 to create a show or create a movement. And if they failed, it didn't matter because the learnings, as long as your report says, we didn't deliver a public space, but we learned all these things. Do you have that in your country? Because we don't.
Yeah. No. No, it's all about success. Yes. It's all about, let's see what we did. It was great. And we got a lot of people and we are the good ones who are able to implement successful projects. Why instead, since public space is so complex, it takes so much time even to just implement an idea. So it's not always easy to in a short limited time, because when you get some funding, they ask you do this in 6 months.
Yes.
And so you really need to have the right people and the good space, opportunities, resources.
Safety. Health, all those things.
Yes. And that's why you always rely on the same groups, because they know, because you already in the past work with these people, you do that, you know that they can do that in 6 months. And so you do not have, you know, possibilities to explore or to research or to just think about how to do something differently.
It's like telling a child if they didn't get an A+ on a test, they didn't learn anything. I feel like sometimes.
Yes. And I do not like the idea of just repeating something that has been successful on the first show.
Yeah.
So I always try to bring some new contents or maybe move to the next level, something that I implemented successfully, because I like this idea that public space can be an experimental space also for, you know, performative actions, community participation, or just to explore possibilities for new meanings, new identities, and new also civic opportunities for you know, for engagement.
Yeah, so if we're talking about our new ideas and opportunities, it brings me to another question I like to bring up is smell, taste, sound, the senses, right? And what we're doing sometimes, I had a friend who did an amazing smell-oriented activation. An activation is kind of like an event in a space. That's what we call, we use the word activations here in New Zealand for pop-up events, kind of. So sometimes I like to see what people, because comfort sometimes comes from, especially as a migrant myself. So I'm from Los Angeles, but I've lived in New Zealand 15 years. My father was born in Czech Republic and my mother was born in the Philippines. So I have a deep, a deep love of bicultural experiences and multicultural joy. And a lot of it for me comes from taste and sound. So what are some of your smells or taste of your home, or whether it's your new home in Bologna or where you originally came from, what are some of yours?
Well, I'm not originally from Bologna, but I moved here almost 30 years ago. So I think now I'm from Bologna, let's say. And the reason why I stayed is that Bologna is very well known also for good food. So when you come to Italy, everywhere you go, food is great. But especially in Bologna, you know, the local cuisine has a specific taste. And everyone who is visiting Bologna is always, you know, so much fascinated by food and they eat a lot because they don't want to miss anything. And so Bologna is very well known for mortadella, which is a kind of meat, which is different from ham. Mortadella is coming from the pork, and it is, you know, the smell. You can smell mortadella without even, you know, chewing it. There are some different recipes. You can eat mortadella as it is, so as a slice with some bread, or you can eat as a cream. Yes, they produce a cream, which
I want to go to the Italian. We
delicious.
Have an Italian festival here, and I'm going to see if I can smell mortadella or suggest it for future. Wow.
And also, you know, since mortadella is pink, Yes, it's a nuance of pink. So it's also very attractive visually. Mm-hmm. Facades of ancient streets in Bologna are made of different colors. So yellow, deep red, and some pink also.
Wow.
So this mortadella color resembles the pink of the facades in some ancient areas. Some ancient areas, you know, in Bologna. So for a foreigner, you know, this idea that, you know, the pink is part of the city and it is also part of the food culture makes this very strong relationship in regard of, you know, daily experience of the public space.
Tell me about your parklet that you created, the story, because I don't know much about it, but I'm a big fan.
Thanks. I know you're following our Facebook group related to the parklet. Yes, the parklet was just implemented in front of our operational headquarters, the Public Space Museum. And so we occupied three parking spots. Of course, this was, not an illegal action, yes. But we applied for authorization by the municipality. We had to struggle and was very difficult, actually. As I said, we were talking with the neighborhood office. So we were talking with people that were just telling us about the bureaucracy of, occupying parking spots.
So what was the rule? What's the rule that stopped you from occupying? Because each, they would have said, sorry, you can't do it because of, is there a specific rule that was the hardest to shift?
Well, the problem is that there is a specific procedure. If you want to occupy, you have to apply and, put some, legal stamps on it. You have to demonstrate that you paid, you have to sign as a legal entity and so on. And then it takes about 30 days to get approved. And so as soon as it is approved, you can then actually occupy the space and then build whatever it is, approved from the municipality. And for the occupation of the space, the municipality usually asks to pay some money. Since we were, developing a parklet, so a public space, the idea was to develop a partnership with the municipality and get a reduced fee in relation to the occupation, or potentially also to pay nothing for, for the occupation, because we were actually creating a public space out of the blue and giving opportunities for residents to actually enjoy outdoor activities, because the parklet was implemented last year in September. So it was intended as a response to the pandemic in a period when in Italy there were a lot of restrictions in terms of outdoor activities. And the government was always, reminding to keep social distancing when encountering others. So we were expanding the space of the sidewalk so that to provide that distance, for people to just stay outside and enjoy. Yes. And in the parklet, we created some benches and places to sit. And we also included some green with trees, bushes. So it was also, let's say, a green island. In a street that was crowded with cars, packed with cars, asphalt, it was very gray environment. And then we created suddenly this green
oasis,
island.
Like a little oasis.
Exactly, yes. And then people suddenly saw, wow, what's this? But first reaction was, you are taking away three parking spots.
How did you get them around? Because people hate that here too, as well, as a parklet maker. So did they come around, or are there still the drivers that are upset?
No, well, people were upset from the beginning till the end.
Okay.
But But at the beginning, we had more people upset. In the end, people were, you know, more flexible. They started to understand why the parquet was important. And a guy one night came to me while I was, you know, because I had to clean, set up, cut, you know, the green,
trim, yeah.
pouring water, you know, I was taking care of the parquet. And so actually everyone from the street could see myself, you know, cleaning, yes. doing this. Every 2 days, let's say. Mm. And so one night a guy came to me while I was doing this and yes. said, thank you for creating this parklet. Aww. And I was like, really?
You want to hug them, but it's COVID.
Yes, exactly. That was the feeling.
Yes.
And then I said, really? Tell me something. Do you like this parklet? Do you appreciate the idea of the parklet? And then he told me, well, at the beginning, I was very skeptical because I didn't realize what this space was supposed to be for. Mm. I do not own a car, but I could not really understand the purpose, you know. But then after, you know, seeing this space, the green, you know, and also during the day, people coming, sitting and doing some activities, I started to realize that we need such a space in yeah. our street. And so I think that because the parklet was temporary,
yes.
So we had to remove it after 10 months. And we had to struggle with the municipality because we didn't get any discount. And
yes.
so we paid the full rate for occupation of the land.
How did they make up the rate, though? Like, because there must be no existing rate. Or do they charge you what they charge car parking like they did in San Francisco? Really?
Yes.
It's expensive.
Very, very expensive. We paid
for
three parking spots, we yes. paid almost 500 euros per month.
Wow.
So we paid almost 5,000 euros for 10 months. And then we paid to actually create the parklet, pay for the green, because across 10 months we had to replace, you know, plants and bushes, there are
musicians, artists, yes.
associated also with the activities that we developed. And for example, before dismantling it, we organized a farewell party with
yes.
music. And people came and it was a summer because it was July and people had a lot of fun and we stayed until almost 11 p.m.
Nice.
Yes, was really very nice. And people told me, but you are really dismantling it? And then I was like, yes, tomorrow. No, please don't do that. don't tell me this. Go to the municipality.
Go to the mayor. Yeah. I'm not the mayor.
Exactly. But if I was a mayor.
Yes, so did anyone, yes. even though they charged you exactly by the book as cars, was there anyone that helped you get it through the line as far as permission from the beginning?
This initiative of the parklet was part of a bigger initiative that started in the city of Bologna from the bottom up. So a group of citizens and organizations came together and actually made a proposal to the municipality in order to implement some placemaking actions during the COVID-19 pandemic as a response to the social distancing, as I was saying. So I included in this proposal that was actually touching different neighborhoods and suggesting very different design interventions or you know, furniture design for specific areas, for example, related to schools or some abandoned areas. So it was very complex initiative made by, you know, non-profit organizations, designers, architects, citizens. And so we created this full proposal that we then presented to the municipality. And the municipality, you know, said that this was an interesting proposal that they wanted to discuss. And then after several months, we were always asking for another meeting. So then what do we do? And so on. Because all these different activities were supposed to be funded by the municipality. So in the end, the municipality didn't really follow up our, you know, and yes, and among all these different proposals, only the parklet, our parklet, was implemented because we didn't ask for funding. We did it by ourselves. And so we paid for everything. And so that was the only one that was implemented. But since we didn't get support and from the municipality, it actually was implemented as a private initiative.
Wow. Oh, because they didn't want any responsibility, health and safety.
Exactly. Ah. Yes. Which is nonsense for me. Yes. I mean, yes, we are private because we are a non-profit organization. So legally we are private, but we are doing something for the community. So we are actually spending money and also giving money to the neighborhood for the occupation of the land to implement a public space project. And so, I mean, this was also difficult for the residents.
How far do how fast do cars drive through? Because that do they drive?
It's an internal street.
Oh,
so that has. Doesn't have a lot of traffic because it's a residential area, so cars can be 30 kilometers per hour maximum. So because the people are constantly looking for parking, so they slow down, you know, to so there is also not so much pollution in the street.
Oh, already cool.
Yeah, so you can actually enjoy being outside.
So what, did you monitor any of this? Did you have, other than the website, is there like a report you did at the end?
Yes, because this parklet was implemented as part of the activities of a European project called A Place, which is co-funded by the Creative Europe program of the European Union. And so we actually published reports regarding activities happening at the parklet on the website of A Place.
Okay.
So you can go there.
Yeah, I'll get links. I'll add it at.
Yes, yes.
I'll publish. You can add it to the article because I think there's a lot to learn in that. What's next? So that was what. How long did it take to? So the parklet was in place for 10 months. What was the amount of time before the first car was moved and the parklet was put in place? How long did it take to build up to that?
It took just one day.
I mean, sorry.
Very fast.
That's what materials did you use to level it? How did you level it?
Well, we had some suppliers. We actually worked a lot on the design. So that we could create the parklet very easily and fast on the site. So I spent a lot of time in the design proposal. So also to solve all the issues related to accessibility for older persons and persons with disabilities, because the neighborhood is actually inhabited by a lot of older persons. And so those were coming to the parklet quite often because, you know, older persons are used to just go around and make a walk in the neighborhood. But since there are not so many public areas or benches, they actually make their walks and stopped at the parklet. Also, because there is a nice bar just in front of the parklet. So some people also took some coffee or something to eat or to drink, and then came to the parklet just to sit and spend some time.
Does
there.
The bar miss that parklet then? I feel like the bar...
I actually tried to develop a partnership with this bar, but he told me that he was very skeptical that this parklet could be successful because of the neighborhood, because of all the bureaucracy with the municipality. And so he didn't invest in this initiative, unfortunately. So
when
it was just
finished, did he say anything when it was all done? Did he go, that was fun while it lasted? Or was he like, oh, how can we keep it going?
No, well, at the beginning, he was happy because he told me, well, finally, someone is doing something in this street. But then people, you know, anytime they were having a coffee, you know, there, they were always asking, so what's happening here? What's this? And they were always asking, so what is this for? And are we supposed to go there? Can we use it? So, and every day, you know, all these questions. And so at some point he told me, well, you should write, you know, a poster, put something in the parklet to explain people that they can use it.
Yes, it's free, it's for you. Yes.
Yes. Also, because I didn't mention, and this is very important, that this parklet was the first ever parklet in the city of Bologna.
Wow.
Yes. And so that's why people were like, what's this? You know, and we don't know how to deal with it, how to use it, you know, and because there is not this culture of, you know, temporary public space.
How do you get the municipality to read the report and realize that certain areas are in a huge need of places to rest and connect? And that is, and so currently, is there no leadership in Bologna that's interested in this, like the mayor of Paris?
So I think that in terms of governance, there is an interest to develop smart policies and, you know, make some also experiments.
Yes.
The problem is how to implement, you know, because you can have the most progressive and really the most brilliant policy, but then you need someone that is able to, someone, not just one, of course, but a group of, you know, let's say public space developers that are able to actually translate the policy into an activity, also dealing with the bureaucracy, because, you know, in Italy we die because of bureaucracy, you know, everything is
same
like,
here.
No, I cannot do this, because to do this, I have to fill this form, apply, send this document, pay taxes, wait, and then I put some additional documents and then wait and then pay again and then wait. Yeah. So it's like something that nobody would be interested to actually pass through.
So it's almost like you're rewriting in their words, because I always say I'm set up for this role as a public space advocate and strategy. Mm-hmm. And because I grew up in a Filipino Czech household, so I spent my life translating my father to my mother and my mother to my father. Because when you have such the creative artist that wants to activate these spaces is such in a different world than the person behind the desk who's stamping papers and following rules. So we were trying as place space innovators, and in city space architecture, I'm sure, is to work together in our different areas to translate and merge the bureaucratic structure with the creative academic success outcomes. Our success outcome is that people are able to engage in the exterior spaces in their homes in a way that is easy. And right now it's 5,000 euros for
Well, if you have the money, you pay, you can do whatever you want.
Which
but
is
this
good.
Is
maybe
the...
you made that. Maybe that was the first time. That
yes.
Was that the first time they let you do that? Was that the first time legally? How did that happen? So that's my question. So that's a big step.
No, look, I think it was really a huge step. Yeah. Also because in the authorization document, they wrote parklet without even knowing what it is, you know. They didn't say like a generic temporary public space. Yes. They actually wrote parklet, which means that we were the first ones in the city of Bologna. But then when I met the president of the office in the neighborhood, I said, look, we would like to do something that other neighborhoods could replicate,
yes,
right? In a different way, you know, maybe in a cheap way by using wood, for example, because we used stone, which is more expensive, of course. But if you do not create conditions for others, you know, to implement such solutions, if you ask this money, we could pay because of the European Union giving funding. But others, maybe they don't have the money, or if they have the money, they don't want to pay.
Yes.
So you have to create the conditions for others. And so I said, you should think about developing some strategies related to this idea of a parklet, because many told me, that's a brilliant idea, I would like to do it. But then when I said, yes, but you have to pay, people were like, come on, yes, really? I have to pay?
But it's a bit sad that they don't ask the people leaving, or it's called an incumbent. What were you in the middle of that I should meet these people and we could continue? I feel like it just stops and
Yes. Well, as I said, Bologna has been always a left-wing city. So there is a kind of continuity of political leadership. The problem is that, you know, those kind of projects relies on sensitivity, you know. So if someone is not sensitive enough, doesn't really understand the why question that I was telling you. So if these politicians cannot actually understand why this is important, why you should support this kind of initiatives, and why people should be, let's say, through these kind of interventions, somehow educated to public space culture, you know, if you do not understand this, I could actually tell you all the best things, all the best projects, all the amazing initiatives, but you will never understand, you know, if you are not open to listen, as I was saying at the beginning.
We've come full circle, yes.
Yes. And so, I think that in every kind of activity, the difference between a successful and unsuccessful project come from the people involved in the process of making this successful or unsuccessful. If you meet the right person that has enough sensitivity to understand, you know, your effort, your motivation, your passion, your commitment, and then you are on the right track. But if you find that person that is just talking about bureaucracy, you know, you are kind of lost.
And that's why I love parklets, because to me, the parklets are not the issue. It's any public space that you're trying to engage people and bring them back into it. It's just a nice place to start because it has a program. It's not that expensive, but ideally you'd want some waterfronts are needing that kind of attention, right? So how do you program an entire waterfront? But sometimes, like you said, the city center is always there and always activated. Why does everyone have to come into that's a 2-hour return trip of their day to experience the joys of open space. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to do micro open space activations and create a framework that is people are paid for those activations and they're also appreciated and valued. When they're doing it in the city center, it's appreciated and valued. When you're doing it in a suburb, it should be free and it's community work. And that's the... Very tricky.
Yes, exactly. Yes, it seems that that's why I said it seems that nobody cares, you know, if you do something in the suburb. And this is also the why question, you know, because you don't have visibility. Yes. Because you don't have so many people like in the city center. Tourists are not coming to your suburban place, you know. You don't get any revenue because there are not other shops around there. So you cannot get support from, you know, other entrepreneurs or other shops nearby that could actually partner with you and develop some commercial strategies, yes. For example.
That's the way forward, I think, is getting the highest municipalities, the central government, health, transport, to include public space as a part of their strategy.
Yes, my effort with the Journal of Public Space and all activities, projects and initiatives that I coordinate through City Space Architecture, all these activities are aiming to put public space as a top priority in the urban agendas of local governments. So this is why, this is my why, actually.
Yes, perfect.
If you are still asking, why are you doing this? Now, this is my why. And I've been, you know, working now for more than 10 years, from my PhD and then my research activities as an academic scholar, but also through City Space Architecture as a civil society organization. Almost 10 years ago, when I was a visiting scholar at UC Berkeley, I started a survey which is still on. So in case you're interested.
I'm going to put that in the link. I'm excited. I'm interested.
Yes. So this survey was about the urban daily life and the pursuit of happiness. So my point is that your happiness is influenced by your urban condition. So the question is, would you be happier if urban condition of the place where you live would change? And so all these questions from the survey are actually trying to make you think about where you live, the services in terms of parks, public transportation, public space, community activities, museums, you know, all these kind of, you know, features that are part of a city, because those are, you know, part of the backbone of each, you know, of each city. Mm. So what if you change urban conditions of the place where you live? Would your life change for the better? Mm-hmm. Would you be happier? And so answering to all, it takes a while because it's about 20 minutes for this survey. But the reason is that you have to think. It's not just, you know, take multiple choices. At some point, you have to write, you know, say something. And so in the end, I ask you, are you happy? Because after this path across the survey, answering to this question, you are actually asking yourself, am I happy? Mm-hmm. Now that I understand that actually I could have more for myself, you know,
in simple ways, planting a tree, putting a seat.
Yes, exactly. It is difficult to actually get people on your side because the challenge is big and because there are so many difficulties. And because we need to push our leaders to actually establish this new mindset that is able to cover also public space as one of the key issues for sustainable development. It's hard, it's difficult. So every day I'm like trying to repeat myself, this is good, you are doing great, go on. So you just need to start. And then I think other people will follow. But the difficult part is to start and to make people aware that this is possible. And also I think we did this with the parklet, something that was unbelievable for many, even for the owner of the bar next to the Barclay, then became visible, something evident, you know. Now we had a Barclay for 10 months and was the first ever Barclay in the city of Bologna. So we have a story to tell, you know, about the process, about the engagement, about, you know, success and failures, because we had also some problems and difficulties, you know, and didn't go smoothly, but we had to be resilient also somehow to face all these difficulties and turn them into something very positive, because the Barclay was really a very positive experience.
Was anyone else there with you in the failures, or was it mostly you? If we don't share our hiccups, which sometimes we say, like little issues along the way, they won't fund the project. Based on that, it's okay to make those small failures, or it takes time. And I guess that's the balance, is saying everyone loved it. We got everyone on board in the end. We need government to understand that there will be mistakes along the way, and it's not a health and safety issue. It's just part of the process, because they see it as a health and safety issue half the time.
Yes. Well, I can share with you some of our failures.
Yes, please. Yay! Okay.
Well, since the Barclay was made of different pieces, we had some benches and then some, you know, containers for the green and trees and so on. At some point, someone during the night stole some pieces of our Barclay. And so people from the neighborhood were very disappointed when this happened for the first time, because they removed one of the cubicle, you know,
planters.
Yes, where people were used to sit.
Okay.
And so someone during the night came and stole that piece, and so people could no longer sit. Right. Yes. And so the owner of the bar came to me and said, actually, he called me because I was not in the office, and said that this morning when I opened the bar, I actually had some clients saying that something is missing. And so are you repairing that piece, or you moved it? What happened? And then I said, no, someone stole it. If this is not there, I'm not the one who took it away. And so this happened four times in the Barclay. During the night, someone came to steal pieces. And this was very unfortunate because, you know, you are trying to keep going and put a lot of efforts, always smiling, you know, and welcoming people. And then someone is trying to, you know, destroy also the feeling, you know, the enthusiasm. And so anytime a piece was stolen, I was replacing, rearranging, cleaning, moving plants and trees so that people didn't realize, you know, that. And then, you know, some people told me, I can't believe that someone is doing these bad things to you.
Yes.
This is very mean.
But it's difficult. It's hurtful.
Yes, yes. So I was sharing these stories with those that actually saw that some pieces were missing.
Yes.
Because then I was always replacing, moving, adjusting. And the supplier that actually bring us the green and trees at some point said, I would like to help so I can replace the space that is now available, because the pieces have been stolen, with additional plants and trees for free.
Oh,
yes. So in the end, this private supplier actually helped us to make the environment comfortable.
And that's a win. That's one supplier who sees the value of improving public space. And it's a buy-in, right?
Yes, yes. And actually understood my why. Well, I guess it is important to start, as I said.
Yes.
So they know that I could potentially do it again. So, or maybe do something else. Well, with a different strategy, in a different spot, And I'm still, you know, thinking about what we could do, because now we are developing a partnership with a Finland artist to actually create a mini forest. Yes, and she is an environmental artist. Her name is Nina Backman, and she has this project called the Silence Project. And as part of this project, she is developing this initiative called A Million Trees to Finland, which is about planting trees and engage people in, you know, this awareness about environment. And she is also developing mini forests that are about environment, but also biodiversity and, you know, community participation, because it is also about, you know, management and people coming together on the same spot, doing something together. And so we are trying now to invite her in Bologna. She already came during the summer, but this time we would like her to implement this mini forest in the green spot, just in front of our office, on the other side of the street. And so if we are able to do this, then we will have another public space, yes, public space initiative, different, not a parklet, but in a public area with this mini forest installation.
Yeah, like nature bathing. It's a big thing, bathing.
Yes.
That'll be fantastic. Well, we'll stop there. And I just want to say this has been, you can see now how we go full circle always.
Yes.
But finishing projects and starting new ones, which is great. And I really appreciate you sharing your evening with us and sharing some failures in hopes that people learn. And I enjoyed listening so much. And I really thank you. And I look forward to hearing your podcast when it comes up.
Thank you, Boopsy.
And we'll just... I'll close here. And I want to say thanks again for all your hard work and your enthusiasm and everything you do for the city of Bologna. I hope you get a mayoral necklace or award for all your efforts and positivity.
Yes, I hope so. Thanks.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share with a friend and let's continue to grow and seed new ways of playing and connecting in our own cities and across the world. Thank you for listening.